Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Healthy Children, brought to you by the American Academy of Pediatrics on RadioMD.com. Here's Melanie Cole, MS.
Sleep disturbances, including obstructive sleep apnea syndrome, are common in children, and these can result in significant health problems if they're left untreated. My guest today is Dr. Carol Marcus. She's a pediatric pulmonologist and sleep medicine physician. So, Dr. Marcus, once we've diagnosed, and you mentioned earlier about sleep studies and having a child go into the sleep lab, and you know, I imagine parents would be a little nervous, but kids do, as you say, sleep pretty well. So now you've diagnosed sleep apnea in a child. We've all heard about CPAPs. Is that what you do first to try and get a child's sleep apnea under control? Or is a tonsillectomy or an adenoidectomy the first line of defense? What do you do?
Tonsillectomy. Children are very different from adults in this regard. Most children who have sleep apnea have big tonsils and adenoids. Even children who have other issues like Down syndrome, by taking out their tonsils and adenoids, it can make the airway bigger. And it's a one-time only surgery as compared to wearing CPAP for a lifetime. So that's typically our first-line treatment for almost all children. And, you know, like any other surgery, there can be side effects, there could be problems. But typically, if you take safeguards against that, it's a very safe surgery. Things are over quickly. The child recovers quickly. And in most cases, there'll be a very significant improvement in the sleep apnea.
Now, Dr. Marcus, for a little while, they sort of stopped, you know, tonsillectomies kind of went out of vogue. And they weren't doing them for a while and saying, well, you know, we don't need to be taking out tonsils anymore. So now is that changed, or is this still surgery that's looked at as something that doesn't always need to be done?
Well, things have changed. I had my tonsils out. My brothers both had their tonsils out. Everyone I knew used to have their tonsils out. And they were taken out for all sorts of reasons. Now the commonest reason to take them out is sleep apnea. And they're not taken out so much for infections and other reasons, although occasionally they do need to be. So I think we're doing more than we were some years ago, but we're doing it for definite reasons now.
And that's an interesting concept right there, because they did used to be taken out for strep throat problems and, you know, ear things, and if you got a lot of sore throats or, you know, I mean, it was just all sorts of reasons. And just like you, everybody I knew got their tonsils out. So now we're using it more towards sleep problems, sleep apnea. Now tell us a little bit about sleep apnea as it, you know, as it goes along with the tonsillectomy. Will things then change? Is this a pretty good solution?
It is. If you take children who are otherwise healthy except for the sleep apnea, most of them will have a very dramatic improvement. Now, some studies have shown some children still have very mild abnormalities, but usually at a level that we wouldn't clinically be concerned about. So the vast majority will have a very significant improvement. Now, the exception is if the child is really overweight. The tonsillectomy still typically helps, but it might not help enough, and they might need further treatment.
What about things like ADHD and behavior problems? We touched on them before, but, you know, would this change with the tonsillectomy if it's found that those problems are related to sleep apnea and sleep disturbances?
There are a lot of studies showing that behavior will change. There's some other studies, big studies, that are ending now as well, so we'll have more data shortly. But I think there's a lot of evidence that behavior can change. Now, that doesn't mean that if you've got a child who acts up sometimes, they get to be a total angel afterwards. If you've got a child on 3 ADHD medications, they'll suddenly be on nothing. But you do very often see significant behavioral improvement.
They're going to be an angel all of a sudden. But you know what? There is, and we laugh, but there is some truth to that, because we all know that tired children are much crankier and much crabbier and much more difficult to deal with and not as focused and not, you know, attentional. Even if it's not a medically diagnosed condition, they have attentional problems when they're tired.
Sure. I mean, I'm the same. If I've gotten a few phone calls during the night, the next day I'm not functioning well and I'm crabby, and I'm sure other parents can relate to that. So imagine in a young child who's having sleep disturbances every night.
Well, I sure, and certainly kids need their sleep. So Now, what would be after the tonsillectomy? Are we doing tonsils and adenoids? Is it one or the other, or is it almost always going to be both?
Some ENT doctors do one or the other. Most sleep doctors recommend both, because often otherwise a child just comes back 6 months later, they're still having problems, and then you have a whole second anesthetic. So almost always, unless there's specific issues, we recommend having both taken out.
Now, in adults lately, Dr. Marcus, they've also been using dental devices to help with sleep apnea. Is this the case with children as well?
They have not been studied well in children. Occasionally, there's an orthodontic treatment called maxillary expansion, but it's only for certain children who have a very high arch palate. So dental devices, the problem in children is that the face is still growing. If you've got an appliance, you could change the shape of the growing face.
Away from that. Okay. And what about CPAPs? Because the adherence with these things, they look so uncomfortable and people are always complaining about them. So, I mean, do children and CPAPs mix very well?
They do. So for people who don't know, CPAP, continuous positive airway pressure, is a little machine that you use during sleep. You wear a mask and it blows air through the mask to keep your airway open. So again, for most children, surgery will cure them. But for those not cured by surgery or those who cannot have surgery for one reason or another, CPAP works. And it can work very well in children, even young children, even children with developmental issues. But you can't just have the company drop it off at the house. You've got to work with a program that will help your child learn how to accept it, how to get used to it. It's a gradual program. They can't just suddenly wear it overnight.
Okay, so children and sleep issues are really a common thing that you as a sleep medicine physician must see all the time. And besides a medical condition such as sleep apnea, there are other sleep disturbances. We mentioned snoring a little bit. Now, what other sleep issues do you, I mean, there's behavioral, obviously, and you and I discussed a little bit about that off the air, too.
By far, the commonest sleep problem in children in this country is lack of sleep. Kids are going to bed late, especially with electronic devices these days. They're watching TV, they're playing with their Wii, they're texting their friends, and kids of all ages are just not getting enough sleep. Parents are working later, they want to play with their kids when they get home, so the kids get put to bed later. So I think it's a big issue, developing good sleep habits and getting your children on a regular routine and getting enough sleep for kids is so important.
It is so important, and as an advocate myself of putting kids to bed early, and always have, even though mine are 9 and 12 and they still go to bed, 7:30, 8 o'clock, 8:30 every school night, and they don't fight it because they're used to it, you know, and they get 11 hours of sleep. Is that enough sleep for children, 11, 10 and a half, 11, 12 hours of sleep a night?
You know, it totally depends on the age of the child, but for your age child, that sounds appropriate. Obviously, the younger you are, the more sleep you need. Even teenagers. Teenagers need about 9 hours of sleep. None of them are getting that.
So when we see the teenagers that sleep until noon, they're just trying to get it all in and they're catching up. Can you catch up on sleep you miss?
You can, but you know, it takes more than a weekend. Studies have shown, say you're jet-lagged, it takes up to a week sometimes to catch up. So catching up on Saturday and Sunday, you know, then Monday you've got school the next day, you won't be totally caught up.
So we shouldn't be dragging our teenagers out of bed when they say all they want to do is sleep, unless it's, sleep because they were up all night. In the last 20 seconds or so, Dr. Marcus, give us your best advice for sleep disturbances in children and specifically childhood sleep apnea.
I would say if you notice your child snoring and having labored breathing, working hard to breathe during sleep or being sleepy in the daytime, mention it to your pediatrician.
Well, that's great advice, and it's something that, you know, as parents, we certainly should pay attention to. But the message here also is that we don't have to worry if our children are snoring. It can be from a myriad of reasons, and call your pediatrician if something like that happens. You're listening to Healthy Children right here on Radio MD. This is Melanie Cole. Stay well and stay tuned.